Russian financial markets are being hit today by new U.S. sanctions. I'm David Brancaccio in New York as President Trump calls out Russian President Putin after those signs of a chemical weapons attack on Syrian civilians. Russia is also digesting new U.S. economic sanctions with a sharper-than-expected edge. Those hit the headlines on Friday, but today the markets in Moscow are reacting. One of the main share indices in Moscow has fallen nearly 7% today. Here's the BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker.
The new United States sanctions affect a number of Russian officials and business people described in the U.S. Treasury statement as oligarchs. They and companies associated with them are having assets under U.S. jurisdiction frozen, and U.S. nationals are prohibited from dealing with them. The Moscow market has been hit by the new sanctions, and there was an especially large fall, more than 40%, in the shares of the aluminium producer Rusal. The company was listed by the U.S. for its close connections with one of the named oligarchs, Oleg Deripaska.
The BBC's Andrew Walker. Let me check financial markets more globally. The 100 share index in London is up just slightly, but Dow and S&P futures are up 0.7%. The Nasdaq future is up 0.9%. Interest rates in the U.S. are up, with the benchmark 10-year yield at 2.8%. An interview I did with Princeton sociologist and MacArthur Genius Grant winner Matthew Desmond a couple of years ago really stayed with me. He did a deep study of people getting kicked out of their apartments, and there was a story of a family who got evicted because ambulances came too many times for a child with asthma. Desmond's book, Evicted, focused on Milwaukee, but he has just released a new set of national data showing evictions around the country are comparable to foreclosures at the height of the financial crisis. I spoke with Professor Desmond from the Princeton campus.
A million evictions, about 900,000 evictions, that equates to about an estimated 2.3 million people evicted in that year, many of them children. So how do we get our hands around that number? That's about 6,300 people a day that are evicted. That's twice the number of people who die in car accidents every day in America. We heard a lot about the opioid epidemic last year. There are about 63,000 drug overdose deaths from opioids in the U.S., which means there were 36 evictions for every tragic overdose victim that year.
Yeah, I took a look. I was wondering if it's just the big expensive cities. It's not, right? I mean, I see, for instance, Philadelphia, which is a not as expensive city, and then you have some smaller cities.
So Philadelphia is one of our poorest large cities. There's about 80 evictions happening every single day in that city, even though there's relatively low housing costs. And you compare that to a city like Portland, one of the hottest housing markets in the country, and you see that in Portland, it looks like evictions are actually on the decline, and they're certainly lower than in Philadelphia. And so what this data set allow us to do, I think, is to recognize that the housing crisis is much bigger and deeper than we thought. It's not just on the coast or in our global cities. It's in a lot of different places. And it raises all these questions about what's going on, questions that we know that we can't answer by ourselves, which is why we wanted to get the data out as quickly as we could.
Now, I want to get back to an important point from your original book, Evicted. If people are listening to this right now thinking, well, they didn't pay their rent, they got evicted, that is not always the case in America.
We're in the middle of a housing crisis. We've seen incomes for Americans of modest means stagnate over the last two decades, but rents have soared. And most low-income families who qualify for housing assistance simply don't get it. So when we think of a low-income family today, we shouldn't think of them as living in public housing. We should think of them on the private rental market, getting no help from the government and spending over half of their income on housing costs. And when you're in those conditions, a really small thing can lead to an eviction. And you're also right that not all evictions are caused by non-payment of rent. Sometimes it's a domestic violence situation. In many cities, landlords don't have to give any reason. So the big reason there's so many evictions is because of the affordable housing crisis, but there's also a lot of other reasons going on too.
Princeton sociology professor Matthew Desmond, he's founded the Eviction Lab at Princeton, and evictionlab.org gets you there. We'll also put up a link at marketplace.org. You can read more about the issue in his book, Evicted. Professor Desmond, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
There will be a longer director's cut of that eviction interview at marketplace.org shortly.
Okay. Objective, trustworthy journalism matters. We hear from listeners like you every day that Marketplace helps you understand the financial forces that affect our lives so that you can make better decisions. Now, this is your chance to be part of our efforts to raise economic intelligence across the country. When you support Marketplace today, your donation will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. As a nonprofit news organization, we're counting on your help so that we can continue to grow and keep getting better. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Become a Marketplace investor today in whatever amount is right for you. You do it by going to marketplace.org.
So the income tax filing deadline is the 17th this year. A week from tomorrow, the National Society of Accountants found in a survey last year that Americans paid tax preparers $176 on average to file federal and state returns. That is for the simpler forms without the itemized deductions. Marketplace's Renata Sago looks at what programs are available for people with lower incomes so they might file for free.
About 100 million Americans qualify for free tax help, according to the Free File Alliance. That's the nonprofit coalition of tax prep companies that partners with the IRS to offer free electronic filing to people who make $66,000 or less. But over the last 15 years, only about 50 million returns have been filed using the program. Orecio Olvera, a California resident, has used it. He enters his tax info in and answers some questions.
It's been seamless. I must admit, extremely quick with the refund.
Then there are places people can get free help from volunteer tax preparers. Community Tax Aid out of Washington, D.C. serves about 7,000 low-income families a year. But Executive Director Teresa Hines says it's hard to find skilled volunteer tax preparers.
That's the biggest obstacle, is recruiting and training and certifying enough volunteers to serve the need that's out there.
And training volunteers costs money. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
The really fun tax season is a year from now, when Americans see the cold hard accounting on whether they're winners or losers under the new tax system. Churches, charities, and nonprofits are concerned the newly expanded standard deduction will hurt donations, since you have to itemize to see the main benefits of charity, and fewer will itemize. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college accountant? How does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.